Good morning and welcome. I want to share some stuff with you this morning that I've been thinking about for the last few weeks, really digging into some new stuff that something that stuff that I haven't thought about before, and I want to root it and ground it in one of the Psalms. So let me read for you Psalm 42. So you want to follow it with me. It's a really well-known Psalm, one that you, I'm sure, will recognize. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar, deep calls to deep. In the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. Amen. So, what are you longing for? What's the cry of your heart? What is it that you're longing for in this season? Maybe it's to see your grandchildren or to see your friends. Maybe you're longing and desperate to get back to work. Maybe you're just longing to get out of the house and to have this lockdown lifted. Maybe, though, you're longing for life as it was before, like it was back in January before we knew anything about pandemics or coronavirus or anything else. What is it that you are longing for today? Do you know what it feels like to long for something? If you know what that feels like to long for something, then you'll be able to identify with what the psalmist is saying here. The psalmist is talking about the longing that he has to be back in the house of the Lord. You know, that longing to be in the house of the Lord really is a metaphor for the psalmist longing for the presence of God. Again, the presence of God at that point in time was thought to be contained in the temple. That was where the Holy of Holies was. And so the psalmist here is expressing that longing, that desire for God. I wonder if you know that kind of longing. Whether it's the longing for God or that kind of desire that your heart just yearns after. The psalmist's in a really difficult place, and he tells us in the psalm how difficult a place he finds himself in. He's longing, and as he longs, he remembers, and he becomes upset at what he remembers because he starts to remember what life was like before. And there's a great deal of sadness around for him in that. And then that sadness at how he feels of, in terms of what he's lost, as he's grieving what he's lost, then turns to God and he asks God, "Why have you forgotten me, God?" I wonder how many of us have thought or said that over the last number of weeks. Where are you, God? What on earth are you doing? The psalmist in this psalm struggles with the doubt and with the fear. But he chooses to hold his ground. That longing for God, that longing to be in the presence of God, he refuses to shift from that longing, but he also refuses to shift from having his focus on where he can find the satisfaction for that longing and in God himself. There's a deep longing in the psalmist for God. And that deep longing isn't just in Psalm 42. We find that deep longing in a number of the Psalms. That ache for God is expressed by the psalmist. Psalm 84 verse 2 says, "My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh cry out for the living God." Psalm 63 says, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water." That sense of longing, that sense of desperation for God is picked up all over the place in the Psalms. I've heard lots recently about the fact that God is pushing a reset button for us at the moment. And we've heard the leadership team here encourage us to dig in deeper, to push in, to press in, to go deeper with God. Sometimes, though, we can feel really bad if that's difficult for us to do. And if our experience of trying to push in feels a bit like everything's just hitting off the ceiling. Those of you who know me well will know that for years, 20 years, 25 years, I've led worship. I've led bands, I've played organs in churches, and I love sung worship, absolutely love sung worship, and always have done. I want to tell you something that's been happening for me over the last, probably longer than the last few months, but certainly over the last 3 or 4 months. I'm finding it really difficult to go deep with God in sung worship. I've never been in this place before. I've always connected really well with God in sung worship. It's always been the thing that I knew if I felt that I was disorientated in terms of my relationship with God, or that things had ebbed, or that I was going through a difficult season, I knew if I booted up a playlist somewhere and I got myself into the zone, then I would encounter God. And that's not happening. And when the way that we've encountered God, that's a familiar way to encounter him, when the way that we've gone deeper with God is no longer a way that is helping us to do that, then that is disorientating and actually can leave us with lots of feelings of guilt or shame or thinking there's something wrong with me because I'm not able to engage with this. I've been thinking lots about this. I've been thinking about how our traditions and our experience sometimes lead us to believe that there's a particular way to go deeper with God or a particular way to encounter God. Perhaps we think that we should pray more, or we should read our Bible more, or we should sing more songs and worship more. And that's how we'll go deeper with God. And of course, all of those ways are really valuable ways to connect with God and to go deeper with him. I've been asking myself, and if I'm honest, been asking God, are you teaching me something different in this time, God? Is there something that you want me to see that I've not seen before? A new way to encounter you, a new way to go deeper with you. What if there's more to experiencing and encountering God than what we've been used to up until now? You know, in the secular world, every so often, something happens that disrupts how we see things. So if you look at the timeline of history and even at the timeline of science, there were things that people believed, and then all of a sudden there was an interruption, some new discovery was made, and all of a sudden all the things that we thought we knew and we thought we understood are blown out of the water. So when people thought the world was flat, when eventually they discovered it was round, all the paradigms that they had for experiencing and understanding were suddenly blown out of the water. In terms of physics and other sciences, as we've gone through and as we've developed things, sometimes a discovery is made that blows to pieces all the things that we thought that we knew. I've been asking, what if one of the gifts of this current season is that we get to discover that we can go deeper with, or we can encounter God in ways that we hadn't even considered before? What if there is real opportunity to encounter God and to find a new depth in God that we didn't even know existed? So often in our worship, we rely on a language-based model to worship, don't we? We try and find the words to express how we feel about God. We try and find the words to describe God. We try and use language in order to frame our experience of God. Sometimes we use metaphors to try and describe God, and so we talk about God as our Father, but that doesn't really cut it, does it? Because God's not like any earthly father. God's much better than any other earthly father. And so when we try and describe him as father, somehow we shrink him in some way, shape or form. We describe him as the Lion of Judah, don't we? But actually, there's so much more to him than being the Lion of Judah. When we resort to simply having language define God, then surely we then put him in a box, because our language is finite and can only describe a finite amount and a finite part of God. God's much bigger than the box that our language puts him in. What if in this season, God is revealing himself to us and inviting us into encounter with him in a way that there's no language to explain? We read in scripture that the Spirit groans in prayers that we can't understand. And we're okay to sit with that at one level, but at another level, we're still trying to find the words to explain and express what's going on with us. What if there's a way to encounter God and to go deep with God that doesn't even involve language? So for some of you, you may now be tuning out completely and thinking, she has lost her mind. What on earth is she talking about? I'd love you to lean into this a bit with me, because I think this is fascinating. And I think that there's something about God that's been revealed to us in this, that perhaps we've not had a season like this where we've had the opportunity to learn it or encounter it or experience it. Very often, we gee ourselves up, don't we, to separate ourselves off from the things that we think are driving a wedge between us and God. And that's right to do, because there are some things that do drive a wedge, and there are some ways that we experience things that we can allow them to drive a wedge between us and God. But what if some of those things that we're experiencing just now that we're tempted to want to cast out or stand against or whatever, what if those things are an invitation to experience something else of God that we couldn't experience any other way? What if in our pain and in our brokenness and in our sorrow and our grief and our anguish, what if that invitation there was to come and experience more of God? You see, God's not short on experience of longing or anguish or grief. You only have to look at the Garden of Gethsemane, which I talked about a few weeks ago, to think about that. You only have to look at the Garden of Gethsemane to see the anguish that Jesus had. What if anguish is something that God is calling us deeper to experience because we experience him in the midst of the anguish? If we look for language to explain the encounter with God, then we're always going to limit the way that we encounter him. What if we encounter God this week through our thirst? What if every time you take a drink of water this week, you look for that encounter with God, or you posture yourself to see yourself as going deeper into God as you experience the satisfaction of the water gives you in terms of your thirst. What if you looked for God in places this week where you've never looked for him before? When we use our senses to experience things, we can see and hear things from a distance away. So I can look miles away here and I can see things that are miles away. I can even hear things that are happening miles away. If I want to taste or I want to smell or I want to touch, then you have to be much closer to me. What would happen if you started to look for God in your senses this week and what you were experiencing, not what you were saying or what you were doing, but what you were experiencing? How might you encounter him in your body this week? Perhaps in a physical weakness or in a pain in your body, there's an opportunity to experience another dimension of God. What would that look like for us this week? What would it look like for us to take what the enemy has thrown at us that he's meant for evil and see God turn it to good? What would happen if we saw the experiences that we have this week not as a way of driving us away from God, but actually as a way of drawing us closer to him? Because in those experiences, somehow we go deeper with him. We somehow get an angle on part of God that perhaps we've not had that angle on before. I was really struck last week by what Rebecca said during worship and how she talked about being in that difficult place, that painful place over the last weeks. I wonder if that is an invitation for us to go deeper. I wonder if that's an invitation and that is the call, that is actually the pressing in itself. Not that we have to do anything, but the circumstances that surround us are actually pressing us in further to God. I don't know. And maybe this is all just complete pie in the sky. I don't think so. Because I think that I'm experiencing God in a completely different way, and I'm not any different to anybody else. I wonder what it looks like for you to allow yourself to be drawn deeper into who God is by your experience this week, by what you feel in your body, by what you taste in your mouth, by what you smell. I wonder what that feels like and looks like. I'd love to pray just now. I'd love us to take some time as a family just now to pray. I'm going to do that. I'm going to invite the Lord to come. I'm going to invite him to come and to show you where he is and what it is he wants to do. And when I use the language, even my language there limits God. So when I say I'm going to ask the Lord to show you where he is, I mean, I'm going to ask the Lord to let you experience where he is and what he's doing. Not necessarily that you'll see him standing in a corner of the room, but actually there'll be a physical experience of him, or a sensory experience of him, or he'll draw your mind to somewhere where he has wanted to take you deeper, but you didn't notice in the last week that actually that's where he was and he was in the midst of it. When Elijah stood on the mountainside, he thought God would come in the earthquake or the wind or the fire. God didn't come in any of those. He came in a way that he wasn't expecting. That's my prayer, that the Lord would come to us this week, that we would have an encounter with the depth of God in a way that perhaps none of us expected. Let's pray together. Jesus, we thank you that you want to draw us deeper into encounter with you. Jesus, we know that that's what we've been thinking about and talking about and been encouraged to do over these last months. Jesus, will you show us this week how you're coming to us? Jesus, even at the moment, will you show us how you want to come today? Whether you're coming in the pain in our body, whether you're coming in our weakness or whether you're coming in our strength, whether you're coming in our sorrow or you're coming in our joy, whether you're coming in what we are tasting or sensing or feeling, or whether you're coming in that still small voice, however you want to come, Lord, we want to invite you to come. Jesus, we simply use our bodies just now, and we would open our hands almost in surrender, but in the kind of surrender that says, you do what you will in terms of coming to us. If you want to blow out of the water all our sense of what we would expect from you or how we would expect you to come, Jesus, you have permission to do that. Jesus, we ask that in that encounter with you this week, or in those multiple encounters with you this week, that you would begin to push that reset button on the inside for us. Jesus, will you come? Will you presence yourself with us? And will you show us how you want to come and keep coming to us in this next week? For your sake and always for your glory. Amen. I really want to encourage you to dig deep in this stuff. And if you've got locked into a way of experiencing God, I really want to encourage you to look beyond the horizons of that way of experiencing God, that way of going deep with God, and look for the potential to experience something else of Him. As soon as we get locked into one way of experiencing God, or one way of going deeper with God, one way of connecting with Him, as soon as we get locked into one way of doing that, then suddenly we limit God because He's only in that wee box. I want to encourage you, let Him burst your box this week.